You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, quite possibly for the first time on Jesus Radio here in Canada, we're going to talk to a porn guy. And pretty cool story, pretty cool thing going on with those XXXChurch.com people. I've had them on the show before, like what they do, edgy. Many of you will not like what they do or how they do it. But I'm telling you, there's some results that are kind of shaking up this porn industry from the inside out. And as much as you may be uncomfortable with it, it's a good thing, in my opinion. Joining us from California, quite possibly could be labeled the porn center of the world, is a gentleman named Donnie Pauling. Donnie, good to have you, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Are you wigged out? Have you done many of these Jesus interviews or what?
No, I've only really been interviewed on the radio by Triple X Church for their podcast.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if those TBN and CBN and, I don't know, Trinity Broadcasting and Christian, you know, the typical Jesus shows. It'll be interesting to see if they get you on, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in finding that out for myself.
Well, and look, let's be honest about this thing. I mean, I've interviewed people before who you know, they've been rookie Christians, for lack of a better phrase, and is there a danger in putting them up on a pedestal? Is there danger in bringing them into some sort of spiritual leadership? I think the Bible's pretty clear that you shouldn't be like a pastor of a church tomorrow by any means, but we're just here to hear your journey, man, so I'm not putting you up on any pedestal. You're probably still just as much of a schmuck as I am.
Yeah, I think actually all the attention lately is a big help to me, because it makes it a whole lot more difficult to be tempted to return.
Oh, yeah, because you got the magnifying glass on you?
Exactly.
Yeah. I often refer to the Bob Dylan theory in all of this. You know, Bob comes out and says he's a Jesus guy, and all the Jesus people cross their arms and go, okay, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you can shake that kind of stuff, because that's going to happen. I'm sure you've had a few emails and comments from people here and there kind of cutting you up a wee bit, or has everyone been, praise the Lord, God bless you?
The Christians have overwhelmingly been supportive. There's a couple of emails that aren't. But on the porn side of the business, it's really shaken things up, and it's overwhelmingly negative, although there are even a few positives there as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been to your blog and your MySpace and, you know, been reading stuff. Boy, by the way, you're a very good writer.
Thanks.
The stuff you're laying out there, you know, sharing your heart, actually reminds me a lot of you. Have you heard of an author named Donald Miller? Yeah, he wrote a book called Blue Like Jazz, amongst many others, and he's an author I would definitely recommend you hook into. Just thought I'd throw that one out, because your writings are similar. All right, let's talk about the journey, man. What, 97, you say to your Christian wife, no less, I'm going to get into the porn thing.
Well, in 97, I didn't tell her. I kind of had already been looking into it, and I handed around to her. You know, I was like, I know how we can get out of debt. I could start, you know, taking some photos for some adult websites, and of course she freaked out, which is about what I expected. So I just kind of hid it from her for a few years and did it on a part-time basis. And then when I went more full-time, I basically started a company called Pauling Technology Consulting, and she thought I was doing technology consulting because that was my background, when in fact I was actually producing porn. And eventually I came out and let her know. I mean, my background, my dad was actually a pastor of a church. He's retired now, but he'd pastored. And that's, you know, how we met to begin with. But once I finally came out to her and told her what I was doing, she, you know, immediately, that was the end of things between the two of us.
She said, that's it, I'm out of here?
Well, I immediately had to move out. And then she tried getting me into counseling and, you know, talking to different people, trying to change my mind. But by that time, I was already set in my mind that I was going to go ahead and do this, because I was really in it for the money. And the money was good. So.
But you lost your marriage. Did you? I mean, did you have children?
At the time, yeah. I had a son who when we finally, when I finally let her know what was going on, he was almost one.
Wow. Wow. Like, I'm thinking that through as a dad and going, you know, talk about rip your guts apart.
It did. It was really rough right there at first, but I was being really stubborn. I mean, there were times when I wanted to go sit on the train tracks and just wait for a train, but, you know, knowing that my son would need me in life, I never did anything like that. But I was still being too stubborn to turn away from porn.
Yeah. What you actually grew up in a God family, though.
Right. My dad was a pastor.
So, like, was that a good experience? I mean, you talked to Marilyn Manson, and he would say it was not a good experience growing up with a father as a pastor.
My dad, I have nothing but respect for, but the people in his churches, I, you know, if I use the word hate, I'm not, you know, exaggerating. I literally hate some of the people from my past, trying to get over that now. But people are horrible, you know, especially church people. I would say that some of the worst pornographers I've ever met are not any worse than some of the people I've met in my father's churches.
Wow. Wow. That's a big statement, man.
It's absolutely true.
Wow.
You know, you have people who they'd want control of the church, and they would do whatever it took to get it. There was one church where the bookkeeper was trying to starve my dad out by underreporting the tithing, because that's how he was paid, is based on the tithing. And her and her family wanted him out of the church, so they tried starving him out by, you know, literally lying on the books. And, you know, this is something that I saw. My dad probably should have sheltered that sort of information from us, but when he and my mom were talking, we would hear these things, and it really began to build up a lot of bitterness. And that's part of the reason I even turned to porn, besides the money, is I loved shocking people from my past.
Well, and again, if I understand things right, there was a pastor in Reading that you wanted to kind of prove wrong.
Yeah, that was just a year ago. That was here later. One of the guys that had tried counseling us, my wife and I, right after I revealed to her what I was doing, he basically was challenging in my face that I better leave God's daughters alone. And he was referring to the models that I'd been photographing. And so about a year ago, I moved into the town where he pastors. He's got a large church. And
you did that on purpose?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to challenge him. Because I've even had, you know, Jimmy Swaggart, I met at an airport once, and
he's one of your subscribers, isn't he?
Probably. Well, he told me he'd be praying for me, and so I kind of...
Oh, good for him.
You know, I felt like I was kind of challenging him in a way by continuing to grow. I was like, look, you know, you and your congregation are now praying for me, and yet my business continues to grow. And it's the same sort of thing that happened when I moved into Reading.
Well, now I feel bad about saying what I said about Jimmy Swaggart, because if he comes up and says, hey, we're praying for you, that's an all right thing to say, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, he at first, I think he was trying to figure out if I seriously produced porn or if I was making fun of him when I told him that I produced porn. But he came to realize I was telling the truth, and at that point he said that he and his congregation would be praying.
Okay, so the rest of us, you know, people that live in the country with horses and cattle, and we live in Wonderbreadville, you know, the June and Ward Cleaver lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We hear that you're a pornographer, and we immediately go to whatever Hollywood has portrayed you as. You know, there's drugs, there's booze, there's obviously, you know, 24/7 sex, and is it as insidious as that?
There is a lot of that in the business, but then there's a lot of people who have normal families and live in normal neighborhoods and don't party as much. I've had days and you know, not just days, but I've had times where I've been in a lot of party mode. It's generally at conventions, but most of the time I was just a normal everyday guy. I don't go out and party while I'm at home, and I don't do any drugs, and I never got into any drugs even throughout my entire career.
Mm.
And there's a lot of other people like me out there that they're in it for the money. And when you're, a lot of us treat it like any other business. You're in it for the statistics. You like to track how things are going with your websites. You like to basically see, you know, which models are making you the most money. And it's a challenge, and you're doing business to business type transactions all the time too. on the phone with companies to do business with you.
But as a guy, which I don't know whether you realize this, I am, and like I struggle with the lust stuff. I really do, okay? And I got the XXX Church software on my computer, the accountability software. My son is my accountability partner, my 17-year-old son, so he gets to see every website that I go to that has any questionable stuff there at all. And tell you what, it makes you think twice before going into somewhere you shouldn't go to when you know your son's going to have a hold of it, of the list, right?
Right.
So, but as a guy, and I think 99.9% of the guys I talk to, we all struggle with the lust thing. So here you are, Mr. Photographer, in that scene. Dude, I mean, how did you control your sexual urges?
Well, at first what happened, I liked the part about being around the girls. That didn't last very long. A friend of mine kept begging to go along with me on my photo shoots, and so I finally let him, and I warned him beforehand. I was like, this probably will kill your sex life. And after he got there, then he figured out what I mean. Because these girls that are tempting to men, when you meet them in person, the minute that a lot of them open their mouth, all of that attraction just completely leaves.
Like they're ditzy, bimbo, rude, skanky hoes?
They're not necessarily skanky or anything, but they are, you know, usually 18 to 24 years old, and they're very immature. That's not always the case, but a lot of them are very immature. They're not the kind of person that you'd actually really want to date in life or spend much time around.
Yeah, but guys aren't looking at porn stars as someone they want to date and marry. Guys are looking for just the ride and away we go.
Well, and also, you have to realize that a lot of those girls, 2 weeks after their photos are taken, they're on the phone crying because their uncle found a photo and sent it to their dad, and their dad doesn't want to talk to him now because, you know, because they've shamed the family and
wow.
The work is found out and going to fire him. I mean, when you put all that stuff in your mind, it makes it a lot more difficult to be enticed by the images that you see as a result.
Wow. Amazing. You know, these insights are helpful for, I think, every guy to hear because we don't, you're right, they say, that some. Maybe this is similar, maybe it's not a good parallel at all, but they say if you ever watched how they make Chinese food, you never eat it again.
Right.
So maybe there's something similar in the porn industry.
That's exactly right. That's what I've said on many occasions, even while I was producing porn. I would say to people, if other people could be around this all the time, we'd lose our business.
Really?
Because it wouldn't be so attractive to them anymore.
Yeah. Is there a danger now, Donnie? And folks, I'll just let our listeners know we're speaking with Donnie Pauling, who has been a pornographer, you know, big-time guy in the industry for quite a number of years now and has sent a lot of his girls to Playboy and Hustler and Penthouse. And Donnie, is there a danger now as far as safety, as far as you speaking out or change lifestyle? And now, of course, with that change lifestyle, you might be speaking, I hope you'd be speaking out against pornography and the whole industry. Like, you wouldn't be getting any hate mail or threatening letters or anything like that, would you, from people within the industry saying, look, buddy, shut up?
You know, there has been some people who have just completely been obsessed by that. And what other people have responded to the individuals who, you know, keep on worrying about me harming their business, they simply say, he's one guy. Other people have attacked the porn business before. One guy is really not going to make that much difference.
Right.
So most of them really aren't concerned. I mean, porn is a multi-billion dollar worldwide business, and I'm not really here to try to shut down anyone's business. I think that that would be kind of a wrong approach to take. I think that education is a little bit better of a way to attack anything, like, you know, trying to reduce people's attraction to porn through education is a whole lot better way of going about things.
Right, right. A little while ago, you mentioned something about conventions. Is that where you met the XXX Church guys?
It is. 2 years ago in Las Vegas, they had a booth on the floor.
Can you describe their booth? Like, were they walking around and you just go, oh my goodness, we got Jesus people here at a porn convention? Are you kidding me? I mean, was that the flavor?
Yeah, that's exactly how a lot of people were reacting. It was a topic of discussion even away from the floor. You know, what are these people doing on the showroom floor, telling us that Jesus loves porn stars? And you know, it was. I gave them a lot of hard time on their message boards and in their blog for a long time because it was blowing me away, and I was kind of testing them to see what they really were.
So you'd push back to see if they'd get all hellfire and brimstone on you.
Exactly. Yeah, I was really on them about it. And they always responded with love, and over time that really got inside my mind.
When you say responded with love, explain that.
You know, they basically would never shoot back in a negative way. They did have to remove a couple of my posts, you know, from their boards.
Why? Because you're cussing up a storm?
Well, not necessarily cussing, but just really demeaning. I knew exactly where the Christians were going to hit them, and I would hit the same wounds. Like, Christians give them a really hard time for being on the floor of the porn conventions instead of standing outside the door. So I would attack that same wound, because with my background growing up, I knew exactly where Christians would go. And I felt like if I attacked the same wound, it would kind of hurt more. So I would give them a lot of grief for being in there on the floor of the convention with the rest of us and, you know, being surrounded by everything that was going on and telling them that, you know, they just wanted an excuse for being in there with the rest of us so that they could see our product.
Yeah, like people say, I actually know a guy who said to me, I feel my ministry, my calling is to strippers, so I'm going to go to strip clubs and minister to them while the strip clubs are open. I'm thinking, buddy, I hope you're taking medication to shut things down, because I could not do that.
The guys from Triple X Church, I now fully believe, are not at all enticed.
Maybe, are they gay?
No, they're just not enticed. I mean, there's some people that aren't enticed by it. Like, I myself am not enticed by most of what goes on at the clubs. And I wrote a little bit about that on my blog entry, Dear Pastor Tom, on Donnie's Ramblings.
Right.
And if you read some of the things that happen on the show, you can see how your stomach might be a little turned. Those conventions are kind of made more for people who are jaded. It's not for the vanilla person who's, you know, just casually watching.
Right. Can you give me I want to get to the actual, you know, tipping over point in your life when you decided to actually surrender your life to Christ in a minute here. But just before we get there, Donnie, what do they do when they're at these porn conventions, these Triple X Church people?
Oh, Triple X Church, they set up a booth and they hand out Bibles. They had a board set up where they would challenge people to not look at porn for 7 days, and you know, when people would walk by, they'd give them a smile and invite them to come over and talk to them, and you know, and they've got T-shirts, God loves porn stars, and Jesus loves porn stars. I'm sorry, and they basically are just there to try to encourage people to, you know, give up looking at porn for just 7 days, you know, and take a Bible. And I'm sure that they're, you know, they're wanting people to go to their website and find other resources and see that there is a place to come if you have a problem with pornography, or if you're in the business and you want to get out, or, you know, whatever the case may be, they're there to support you.
Right, so one of the main reasons for being on the Florida Porn Convention is to get people to their website so that they can, if they do want to escape porn or find that it's an addiction in their life and it's destroying relationships or whatever, that there's a safe place to do that. There's message boards and blogs and all that kind of stuff. But also for the people who are in the industry, there's actually someone to talk to about maybe wanting to get out and do this Jesus thing. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's about it. And the fact that they're not standing outside the doors is actually a help, because, for example, I never would have even noticed if they were just outside the doors. It would have, you know, that's typical.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that would have grabbed my attention, and I wouldn't have respected it because I would have felt that they think that they're too good to be inside with me.
Okay, so how does Donovan Phillips go to Donnie Pauling again?
Donovan Phillips was the name that I came up with right at the beginning when I was hiding everything from my wife. I also wanted to keep a different name, because I didn't want my last name, my real last name, to have an effect on the rest of my family.
Right.
By having it associated with producing porn.
Right.
So Donovan Phillips was the same initials. I could still respond to emails, you know, no matter where they came, by saying, thanks, Donnie. You know, I could have Donnie as my signature line for each way.
Sure.
So it's just like any other thing. All the actresses have fake names, and all the producers have fake names.
But how did you go back? Like, what was the turning point? Let's get to this. You finally bought into Jesus thing. You know, you go from being Donovan Phillips, the porn guy, back to Donnie Pauling, you know, the kid who grew up with the God family, and actually you're buying into the God stuff now.
It was quite a progression. I mean, it started 2 years ago when the XXX Church guys first planted seeds by being there at all and showing a lot of love instead of being judgmental. I hate the judgmental attitude that most Christians have. It completely repulses me. And this kind of made me think that, you know, maybe there's a new type of Christian out here who's actually living up to the word Christian and being like Christ. Because if you look at Jesus' example in the Bible, he wasn't there to judge anyone. The only people he really judged were the Pharisees, which were exactly how I saw most Christians, is as being Pharisees and thinking that they're too good for the rest of us. So over the course of time, you know, I started softening up a little. My ex-wife sent me to a church that she goes to, who she said was also non-judgmental, and she asked if I'd go, and I went and listened. And, you know, slowly over time I started thinking, you know what, maybe, you know, I should look more into this, because there was never a time when I completely turned my back on God. Even while I was producing porn, I still had no problems, you know, looking skyward and saying a prayer once in a while.
Hmm.
I mean, there were times when I tried to question the existence of God, but those, you know, those questions really never lasted long, because, you know, like I say, it's pretty hard to look at the world and the earth as it is and all the creations and doubt that there's a God. That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
So over the course of time, I started just, you know, softening up a little bit more, and then I got electrocuted.
You what?
I was driving back from Playboy's offices. They just offered a new contract that was four times as much as they'd been spending with us.
Okay.
And I started praying, and I was like, God, all the Christians must be wrong about what I do for a living, because it seems like my life just keeps getting better, and you're blessing me. And just right after that, I literally felt an electric shock, and I had to pull my car over to the side of the road. And it got my attention. I mean, I knew right away that God was just basically reaching out and touching me and letting me know he was there.
So you got zapped, man.
I literally got zapped. My hands were shaking. I couldn't drive for a while. And
but hold on. Like, rational thinking, right? Let's go through this. Some short in the car, some electrical deal, maybe you got hit by lightning. Well, yeah, I guess that could be God, too. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you must have been looking at it going, okay, did you just know right away it was
I knew
gone?
Right away.
Yeah, okay.
There was no doubt. I mean, I was driving a brand new car. There's not any electrical short.
Yeah.
And I'd been praying right before it happened.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I was...
That's crazy, man.
And I didn't immediately turn my life over to God right then. I says, you know, God, fine, I'll surrender to you. I know that that's what you want. But I have all these questions, and I need these questions answered, because a lot of the Bible makes no sense to me. Hosea 13, verse 16, for example, where, you know, it's God's will for the people to go in and rip unborn babies out of the wombs of their mothers. I was like, God, why?
What's up with that?
Yeah. Why does this stuff happen in the Bible? It makes no sense. It doesn't even add up to the loving person who came to earth in the form of a man. You know, I said it completely, contradicts itself, it seems to
me. Yeah.
But I called Craig up, though, after being electrocuted.
Craig Gross
from XXX Church.
You know what? That's a funny sound. I called Craig up after being electrocuted. Yeah.
And I basically said, you know what? I want to get out of the business, but I'm not ready to surrender my life to God yet. And he just said that he'd keep me in prayer. And finally, I had a decision to make just a few weeks later about some matters that are, you know, going to remain private. But
sure.
I was driving, and I said, you know what, God? I want to now so bad because I've literally been touched by you. I've never had that happen at all in my entire life, ever. I know what you want, and I want to surrender right now. I have all these doubts, you know, that sometimes I even doubt that the sacrifice was ever made, but I'm going to accept it anyway, and I'm just going to trust that you'll comfort my mind, you know, that I'll learn over the coming weeks. And that was, you know, that was a few weeks after being electrocuted.
You know, when I just, like, I don't know you at all, man, but when I hear that kind of honesty, that kind of, like, I baptized a guy one time, and before I baptized him, I said, you know, you got something you want to say to the people who are watching this? And he said, yeah, I'm still not 100% sure about this. And I'm like, okay, I've never heard that just before baptism before, but it was just him being honest, you know? I'm not 100%. It requires faith. God says, hey, without faith, it's impossible to please me. So I appreciate that kind of honesty, Donnie. That's awesome, man.
Well, I remember the verse in the Bible where, I don't remember the entire context, but it was, I believe, helped by unbelief. You know, there was somebody talking to Jesus in the Bible, and he says, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah.
And I basically said, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
I want to just accept you, reach out my hand, and have you help me in these questions and areas where I have doubts.
Okay, so you do the initial sort of surrender deal, and something, some kind of weird thing goes down in the spiritual realm that we're totally unaware of. You probably, you know, there's some awareness in your life, but, you know, there's that whole spiritual realm thing where something major just happened. And then now what? Like, it's a few weeks later, like, you have just come out of a major industry that has some serious gravitational pull with it, I would imagine. Money, even to be honest, from my point of view, I know from your point of view you say it's different, but, you know, the naked women, the sex, I don't know, whatever, but there seems to be a big draw. Have you been sucked back at all?
No, really, you know what? There's been a very few amount of times where it has even crossed my mind to return. As soon as I surrendered, I knew I was going to lose everything I own. I mean, there's no way I could find another job that pays as much as I was making. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was instantly okay with that. I felt comforted. There's a lot of other things, you know, that have been happening over the last year that have really, you know, I knew God was trying to get my attention. But I'm at the point where I don't mind losing absolutely everything that I own. You know, my biggest concern is supporting my ex-wife and my son, because up until now, she'd never even had to work because I was completely supporting her. I wanted her to stay at home with my son, and I figured that, you know, because I was the one that messed up, she shouldn't have to give up her dream of always being a stay-at-home mom.
Sure.
Well, my son's in first grade now, so she could work during the day and still be home with him.
Cool.
She's acquired a job, but there's still a lot of support that she needs from me. That's really the only thing that concerns me right now. The rest of giving up all the positions, they really have no more appeal. I was never very miserable, but possessions didn't make me happy either.
Right.
And as soon as I surrendered to God, I had an instant peace. And since that time, my story spread all around, and there are so many people praying for me that right now, I mean, at the presence of God descends on me almost every day. I drive down the road and I have goosebumps on my arms. And
you still getting zapped?
I don't get zapped anymore, but I definitely feel God's presence. Sometimes it's so overwhelming I can't keep from crying. And nothing from my past compares to that, and the comfort that I feel inside, and just the fact that I feel like Jesus has put his arms around me and kind of has me up to his chest right now and just kind of hugging. And it's just absolutely amazing, some of the emails I've received from other people who have said, you know what, Donnie, I was a member to your websites. I've been a Christian even while a member to your sites. Your story has made me want to double up my efforts to resist pornography. And I literally have hundreds of emails that are similar to that.
Yeah, I've read like 10 of them, and those things killed me. I mean, absolutely. I was sitting there at the computer. My mouth was dry. Amazing to hear that kind of stuff, you know? Hey, I'm a Jesus guy myself, even though I've been into the porn and I've been at your site lots, I hear your story, and it's just made me want to just ramp up my efforts to do something about this addiction. And I just go, wow, this is just awesome.
And it gives me goosebumps when I read those emails because I'm thinking, wow, God, this is powerful. This is something that you can really use.
Yeah.
And if, you know, at some point, I'm in the growing stage, of course, now, because it was September 25th when I finally surrendered to God, so it hasn't really been that long. But there's some point where I think God's going to have a use for me in helping people who do have a problem with pornography.
Well, I can only imagine where that's going to go. But let me just say a little something to you. North American Christianity has a tendency to pump everybody up to think they're going to be the next latest and greatest, and they're going to have a book or they're going to have a speaking tour, and it's always got to be big. Don't forget that in the worldview of Christ, things are salt and mustard seed big. Big difference between big programs, big speaking, big book tours, all that kind of stuff. Look out, especially. I know you didn't ask for my advice and getting all preachy here. Sorry, man. But you know, look out for the salt and mustard seed things. You know what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying. Just this morning, I received an email from a chaplain's assistant in Iraq. And he told me that he struggled with pornography. He's got a wonderful girlfriend back home who he's open and honest with about that. And he's had a hard time recently with it because he says when people that he's counseled get killed, then he goes into a depression and opens up his browser and looks at porn.
Yep, I get that pattern. Yep.
And he was asking me for, you know, my opinion, if I had, you know, to be praying for him, basically, for one, and to also, if I had any words to say to him, to let him know.
What'd you say?
And I basically responded to him, and I wrote 3 pages of a response, so you probably don't want to hear all the things.
No.
Takes too long.
But I would like to read that. You can send that. Oh, no, it's private between you and him. But what was the gist?
I basically just told him, I said, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
I said, you know, Christians are going to make you feel like, a lot of Christians anyway, make you feel like if you're sinning, then something horrible is happening. I says, but, you know, there's a picture that I have on my blog right now that I just posted of my son reaching his arms up.
What? You know what? I saw that shot today when I was looking at it. Again, like, I'm not an emotional guy. I don't cry at Bambi movies or anything, right? But that picture of your son and the way you described it, sorry, I'll shut up. You go ahead and make our listeners cry. Go ahead.
Basically, you know, my little boy was reaching up to me with his arms out, and he has this desperation on his face that says, please pick me up, Dad. And it almost hurt my heart to take the time to take the picture because I wanted to pick him up so bad. You know, and especially when he used to be upset as a toddler, I'd pick him up and I'd start whispering in his ear until he calmed down. And that's what I told this chaplain. I says, God is doing the same thing with you. If you reach your arms out and you want him to pick you up, he's going to pick you up to his chest and he's going to whisper comforting words in your ear. He's going to hold you, and if your heart truly wants to change, then don't be afraid of the baby steps. You know, sometimes miracles happen, but don't be afraid of the baby steps. Don't feel like you have to change instantly.
Mm. We're talking with Donnie Pauling, who is formerly known in the porn industry as Donovan Phillips. And a few weeks back, this guy who has put a lot of girls into Playboy, Hustler, and Penthouse has just bailed on the industry and surrendered to Christ, which is pretty stinking amazing. And I think about where you're at and where things are going and the baby steps and afraid of doing something wrong. And I really want people to cut you some slack, so much so that I was going to, now catch the past tense there, I was going to ask our listeners after we're finished with you to call in and we would discuss, should Donnie take down his pornography site now that he's a follower of Christ? And I noticed that you logged in to our web forums and kind of cleared up things for us, because I guess I was only getting part of the picture. The first time I went to your blog, Donnie, or MySpace or whatever it was, there was a live link I could click on, which took me to a website that had links of all, you know, pictures that you've taken. And that killed me. So I was thinking about that. People are going to have a whole bunch of opinions of this. I read some people kind of questioning you on it. And then I noticed those live links were gone. But I guess my question to you is, Is that, can I still access that stuff?
It's definitely out there. It's all over the internet, and it's not going away, because I sold my business when Playboy really started doing a lot of business with us. You know, a little over a year ago, they started really ramping up what they were ordering from us. And at that time, I sold my sites, and my name remained so that nobody would really know that anything had changed. And the company who bought all my sites bought the rights to using the name. And I continued to produce the content for it, but I have no control over the sites.
Right.
The blog, as it used to be, still exists, but there's no link to it. And the reason it still exists is because, you know, I have a big problem with hypocrisy. And I'm not going to hide from what I've done. I'm going to, you know, I wrote a lot of really bad things about Christians on my old blog. I also, you know, wrote a lot about producing pornography. I've removed as many of the photos as I have control over from that old blog. I took them all down.
Right.
And, but the actual writing that I did, I'm not going to hide from, because I did it.
Yeah. How's your partner with all this? Because you were in, like, there was a, what was her name again?
Belinda. She's been with me for 6 years almost.
Yeah. And now she has all your old equipment and stuff, and she's kind of still doing the business. Has she been freaked out by you getting all Jesus-y?
She thinks I've gone insane.
Oh, man.
That's what she says.
Oh, buddy.
Because she says, I want the old Donnie back. We had a great life. There was nothing wrong with what we're doing, and I have no plans of stopping. Her business has actually exploded because the people in the adult industry are, you know, they're all, oh, poor Belinda. Her fiance has gone nutty and become a Jesus freak, so let's do more business with her. So,
okay, so she wasn't just your business partner. She, you know, you and her are engaged or were engaged?
We were engaged. We're no longer engaged, but we were engaged.
Because of this Jesus decision or prior to that?
You know what? We were still engaged when I made the choice. We'd lately been having a little bit of a rocky relationship after having a nearly perfect relationship for so many years. Part of that was because of the turmoil I was feeling inside.
Right. So you go through the inner turmoil, back and forth. What do you think about this? God's messing with you, pulling on your heartstrings, and that creates the whole friction in the relationship. And then, would it be fair to say the icing on the cake was you finally surrendering and getting out of the porn industry?
Yeah, and she's completely blown away because just yesterday I was talking to her and she told me that it seems really odd to her that some of the things I used to ridicule about Christianity, I'm now doing myself.
And oh, man.
I can see your point.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Wow. But then, on the flip side of this, there's Chrissy.
Chrissy Moran.
She's doing the same thing. She's journeying out of the industry into the loving arms of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I just go, wow, this is like a ripple effect, man. This is crazy.
Yeah, Chrissy was one of the first people to email me once my story went public. And she had already made the decision, and she had not yet gone public with it. She was afraid to, for reasons that aren't really my business to put out there.
Hmm.
But it was, you know, I've emailed back and forth with her a few times, and she's having the same experience. She's being embraced by the love of God, and she's very comforted, and she's scared just like I am.
She's probably getting a lot of emails from single Christian guys.
I'm sure she is. She's a beautiful girl.
Beautiful is, that's understating.
Yeah, my ex-wife found her profile off of mine, and she called me on the phone, actually, and she goes, that girl, Chrissy, she says, I didn't know God made women that perfect.
Oh, man, that is classic. Classic stuff. Well, listen, we got to let you go. I have so much appreciated you sharing your guts with us. It has been a tremendous thing to hear this. But I want to leave the final thought to you, man, you know, from a guy who's the big pornographer who's now just recently surrendered to the creator of the universe. What do you say to people out there? What do you say to the people struggling with porn? What do you say to the people who are struggling with the whole God thing?
As far as struggling with porn, that's something that I think can be dealt with education. I think if you learn what goes on behind the scenes, the whole fantasy of porn becomes a whole lot less attractive. you know, a lot of the girls who are actually, if the addiction is hardcore porn, like the assistant chaplain earlier today.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that will combat that. One of the couple of things I told him is, literally 80% of the hardcore porn models have some sort of an STD. You know, and if you think about that while you're watching,
yeah,
that kind of takes a lot of it away too.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden she's not really someone to fantasize about.
No.
But as far as people who have doubts about God, that's something that, you know, I've struggled with forever. I still have some struggles with a lot of the parts in the Bible. I have no problem at all believing in God because he just shows his presence everywhere in the entire world. But some of the things in the Bible, I'm not really at a place yet to counsel anybody on that because I'm still going through my own struggles.
Yeah.
I'm just trusting God, and he has definitely been there so far.
You couldn't have said it any better, mate. Absolutely perfect. Truly, I've enjoyed this time, Donnie.
I have too.
Thanks, man. I look forward to seeing where things go, and I'll keep an eye on your website or your, yeah, I guess it's a website, donniesramblings.com, right?
Right.
Donnie, D-O-N-N-Y-S, ramblings.com. Say hey to JR and Craig for me, and tell those guys that the Canadians, there's still some of us up here, appreciate what they're doing.
All right, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right.
Wow. That's amazing. Ken?
All I can say is that God makes it really clear in his word that he who has been saved from much loves much. I think we just heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. You can totally pick that up, eh? In his spirit.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think people that have been through really big problems like that are really God's green beret, because in many ways, they are people that God has kind of handpicked. I'm going to send you through such difficulty, such hardship, that I need somebody really special that couldn't handle that, because there's like people like me that can't handle something really hard.
Mm.
I'll just let you be a pastor. You're going to be the, you know, infantry guy. Mm. Let's let the really, really tough stuff, the Navy SEAL stuff,
yeah,
Green Beret.
Yeah.
Donnie, hey, can you step up to what you're going to have to handle when I send you through these things? In the end, I'm going to be glorified, and you're going to be joyous.
Sweet. Sweet. Okay, well, when we come back from our break, we got to talk about Madonna. It's all over the news, her adopting this boy from Malawi, the orphanage there. Are you okay with her doing that? Are you not okay with her doing that? How are we feeling about this, folks? Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.